to the trestle and all that stuff. If you have great weather, if you have perfect soil, minimum 3 years before you see, before you even have the possibility of expecting fruit. It is a long process. And it's the same way in your growth with Christ. It takes time for you to grow as a believer before you are producing the fruit that you might want to see. Don't be discouraged. If you're a new believer or if you've been a believer for just a few years, something like that, don't get discouraged if you don't see massive change happening around your life. Keep working at it. Keep moving at it, because that fruit will come if you're faithful to keep working at it. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. The important part is that you just keep moving forward, because all the pruning is going to make you a stronger believer. All the pruning is going to make you a more fruitful believer. The second thing about pruning is it's a painful process, because sometimes healthy, good branches are pruned to make room for the newer, stronger shoots. So sometimes God in our lives cuts out good things in order for us to be able to find great things. And sometimes God takes things out of our lives that we don't want to lose so that he can do something even better in us. So he can do something more in us to make us produce even more fruit. Because see, just because we're producing fruit doesn't mean that we've reached our potential. Just because you are growing as somebody who is Christ-like, because you are growing somebody who has patience and you've seen where you've come from, that doesn't mean God's done with you yet. In fact, God's never done. He's going to keep working. He's going to keep pruning. He's going to keep cutting things away. And what it does when God cuts things out of our lives, when the vine dresser cuts away branches in a grapevine, what it does is it allows the vine to get more nutrients and more of the food it needs to the branches that are left. So by having fewer branches, it allows the ones that are left behind to be more fruitful, to be stronger, and the health of the entire vine is better. In the same way, in your life, God's cutting away things sometimes because we've got so many things going on in our lives. And sometimes they're good things. And sometimes we've got so much happening that we can't do any of it really well. And God will take things in your lives where he takes away some of these things, even if they're good things, so that you can do the ones that matter better. But here's the thing about cutting. And think about pruning and think about taking things away. It's painful. It can be painful. Now, I don't want to set you up for misconception here. When God does this in your life, when God is chipping things away and cutting things away, it's not an easy process. Sometimes it hurts because it's things that you like and things that you love and things that you wanted to do. I used this illustration like my first week here, but I love it. It's a great example of this. In the book, Agony and Ecstasy, it's about Michelangelo. A reporter asked him back in the day, I guess there's a reporter, but some person asked him, how do you know what rock to cut to get to make it a sculpture? And he said, well, the image is already in there. I just have to cut away everything that's not it. And see, what God is doing, he looks at your life and he sees Jesus in you. And what he does is he cuts away every little thing of you that's not him so that he can get to make you more and more shaped and looking like Christ. And that's what the pruning does. That's what the pruning process does. So sometimes when you feel like you're following Christ and you're doing good work and you've been at church, you've been sharing the gospel, you've been doing all the things you believe God is asking you to do, and yet there's still this thing that gets taken away from you, it's not punishment, it's pruning. And it's God preparing you to do something else that makes you more like Christ. So understand that sometimes that just because you feel like you're doing it, and understand this too from the other side of it, the more you're in the game, the more the enemy is going to attack. And God will allow those attacks as part of this pruning process. So anything that's happening to you like that is something that God is doing or something that God is allowing in order to make you more like Jesus. If you're abiding in him. That God is doing things, taking things away, giving you things you didn't want, whatever it is, he's doing it or he's allowing it to make you more like Christ. But it's a necessary process. Without pruning, the grapevine would never produce fruit. It wouldn't happen. If you just plant it and let it grow It's never going to produce fruit. It's never going to have grapes. In the same way in your life, if it's not happening, if it's not being pruned, you're never going to produce fruit. So welcome the pruning. Welcome the pruning. So the second type of person that we see here in John chapter 15 is those who are not abiding in Jesus. Verse 2, read it again. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And this is not a statement on you can get saved, and if you're not bearing fruit, you lose your salvation. That's not what this is saying. Okay, what he's talking about here is if you are not abiding in Christ, if you become a Christian but you don't abide in Jesus, then you're not going to be able to bear fruit. So what God will do is take somebody who is bearing fruit and use them to accomplish his plans. So what happens in your life sometimes, if you're not abiding, if you're not spending time with Christ that you need, if you're not developing that relationship with him, there are things that God may have had available for you to do that he'll give to somebody else. And that means you miss out. Because God's will be accomplished. It will happen. If God wants something to happen, it's going to happen. And so if God was going to use you, but you sat on the sidelines and got lazy, he's going to get it done with somebody else, and you've completely missed out on the opportunity and the blessing of being a part of what God is doing in your life. And you'll produce loose fruit in your own life. You'll slowly become somebody who doesn't look like Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit, you'll find yourself being less patient, less kind, less faithful, dealing with self-control issues. And that leads to a bigger danger, because not abiding means you're not receiving his power. In verse 5, he says that apart from me, you can do nothing. So if the longer you're not abiding, the less you'll be able to resist temptation. See, not spending time with Jesus, developing that relationship with him, not abiding, you're not going to be able to resist temptation. It makes you brittle, it makes you weak, and it makes when that temptation comes along and you've been trying to do it on your own, it's much easier to fall into that temptation. Jane read a story about a pastor's wife who's the husband, the pastor, had gotten caught in an affair with somebody in his church. And they were asking about it. And he said his only time he spent with God was preparing a sermon. And just from experience of doing this, preparing a sermon is not quiet time. It's not quality time with God. I learn a lot and I get to see a lot, but it's not for my own benefit. It's for you. When I'm doing the sermon stuff, it's for you, and it's preparing a message. It's not me soaking in Jesus. And so if a pastor is not putting effort into this, into his own abiding, that temptation comes along. It's the same for you. If you're not putting your effort into abiding and to getting to know Jesus and to build that relationship, you're not going to be able to overcome temptation. So before we get to the third person, I have a object lesson, I guess, a little visual demonstration. I got these two branches this morning. They're off the same tree. That one's a little messy. So obviously this one is not doing so hot. It's got the leaves are falling off. They're all brittle and cracked. The wood itself breaks really easily. It's all soft it's all dry and hard. And this one, it's not too bad. I mean, the branches are still pretty spongy. It took me a little bit of work to get it put off the tree, and the leaves are still green. So here's the question. Which one is dead? Is this one dead? How about this one? They're both dead. This one just doesn't know it yet. Okay? There's no life here. It's cut off from the source. It's dead. Flowers in a vase are beautiful, but as soon as you cut them off from that rose bush, they're dying. Okay? There's no life, and you can sustain the look by adding water and adding stuff like that, but eventually what's going to happen? It's going to get smelly and ugly and fall apart. Kind of like this. So that's the person, that's the third person that we're talking about this morning. There are those who think they are abiding in Jesus, but they're not. There are some of us who think they're abiding in Jesus, but they're not. There's a picture. If you go to the next slide, it should bring up a picture. Yeah, that's a grapevine. It's kind of hard to see up there. In the middle, in the bottom, there's a vine about this big around, and all the rest of that on top comes out of that one vine. And see, all of that on top that's producing the grapes gets all of its nutrients, it gets all of its sustenance, it gets all of its food, it gets all of its everything from the vine. So if you cut something, one of those branches loose from the vine, what's going to happen? It's going to stop producing grapes because it will at that point be dead. And see, there's some of us that we think we're abiding in Jesus because we try to look like it from the outside. We dress up nice and go to church. We turn on the Christian radio when other people are around. We stop and we change things about ourselves on the outside to make people think that we are different on the inside when we are not. And see, this branch has the green leaves. It's even got a little bug on there. Who thinks that it's not dead yet? But it's dead. There's no life here. It's not going to produce. And given time, it's going to turn brown and brittle and fall apart. So what does it mean to abide? What does it mean to abide? The definition of abide means to remain or to stand around. To stay around. Sorry, to remain or to stay around. So, are you staying around Jesus? Are you remaining with Him and staying around Him? That's what it means to be someone who abides. There's a key word here. Time. You see, Jesus is not a historical figure we try to learn more about, like we would George Washington or Abraham Lincoln or somebody else. Jesus is a living person that we have an active relationship with. So if you're married or you're dating or been in any of those relationships, even a parent, a child, if you've got your parent, if you've got children, whatever it is, how do you cultivate that relationship? Time. What happens if you don't stay around each other for a while? Things get kind of cold. Things get kind of dry. Things get kind of brittle. They break easily. It's the same thing with Christ. It's the same thing with Jesus. He wants us to build this relationship with Him, and it requires time. See, it requires more than sitting in here and listening to me talk for 30 minutes. Trust me, it's not that beneficial to hear me talk. It helps a little bit. The gathering of the saints is a good thing. But if you leave today, and this is all the time you've invested in your relationship with Jesus, you're missing it. You're missing it. You're not abiding. And you're that green branch that's been broken off where you can dress up and look pretty, but you're not abiding. You're not receiving that the nutrients and the resources that you need from Christ in your life. So on a day-to-day thing, here's what it may mean. It may mean that you need to change your schedule. I have to do this. I have to constantly evaluate my schedule and make sure that I'm setting aside time. I've had to do it. We bought a dog a few weeks ago. Some of y'all know that. Not everybody knows that. And we love him. He's great. His name's Walter. He's really great. He's a little Yorkie. Great, great dog. We really enjoyed having him. The kids love him. I love him. But he wakes up with my alarm. Okay? So my routine that I've had for the last however many years where I get up and I shower and get ready and then I sit and I have time where I can read a book, I can read the Bible, I can do all these things, all of a sudden now I got to take the dog out. I got to put food in the bowl. I got to change out his water. I can do all of that stuff. And if I don't do it, what does he do? He yelps. They can do it, yeah. He's whining and yelping and barking and doing all those things and no one else. And then they wake up an hour early. So what do I have to do? I've had to adjust my schedule. Because this is important. This is important. And I'm still working on that. I haven't got it quite figured out yet. We're still working on it. But it may mean in your life you have to change your schedule. It may mean that you need to add 15 minutes to the start of your day, or, you know, instead of reading Facebook for 20 minutes, you read your Bible for 20 minutes. I'm guilty of of anybody. I've checked my Facebook first thing in the morning. I get it. But you know what? This is more important than what some friend from high school I haven't seen in 15 years had for breakfast. Somehow it feels really important, but it's not. It's really not when it comes down to it. When it comes down between that and your relationship with Christ becoming brittle and broken, it's not very important. It may mean a change in your attitude. It may mean a change in your approach to how you relate to Jesus. Because for some people, and for me sometimes, I've had bad days. It doesn't happen much anymore, but there were times before I went to the ministry when I knew God was wanting me to go into the ministry and I didn't want to go into the ministry. There were times where my attitude was, this is a chore. I should probably read my Bible today because, you know, that would make Jesus happy. I could do this Bible study, maybe with it, because that's less boring than sitting and reading my Bible. Maybe your attitude is wrong, that you don't have a problem with setting aside the time in your schedule, but your approach to reading your Bible is, I better get this out of the way, so I'll read a couple of chapters out of Genesis, and I may read the same ones next week too, but at least I'm reading my Bible, right? Where's your attitude? How's your approach to relationship with Christ? Use the same analogy of your spouse or a child or a parent or a sibling when you do this. If your approach to, if I came home to my wife every day,
I said, okay,
we got 2 hours of quality time. Let's go. All right, kids, you ready? We're gonna knock out this quality time because I got stuff I got to do and I want to get around to it. I think they would take that. Not very well. Especially since one of my wife's love languages is quality time. That would not go well at all. See, our attitude is so important with abiding because the definition of abiding is staying around and remaining. But Jesus doesn't mean to come and sit and just kind of be there. He wants to have an active, active relationship with you. And the last one is changing your desires. Want tos. And it's more than just reading your Bible. It's more than all of that. He wants you to want the relationship. And see, abiding in Him means spending time in His Word, because He still speaks to us through His Word. It means spending time in prayer. Last Sunday night in Philippians, we were talking about prayer a little bit. And Paul talks about when you're anxious, which means feeling pulled in different directions, who's been there, that you pray. You pray. Prayer and supplication with an attitude of thanksgiving. You pray. You come to God and you talk to Him. And you don't just talk to Him saying, here's what I want from you, God. You come to Him and say, talk about who He is, how great He is. Tell Him what you're thankful for and then say amen and walk away sometimes. And don't ask Him to do stuff. And sometimes what it means is that you pray and then you sit there and you shut your mouth and you don't do anything for a minute and you wait to see what He has to say. Because God speaks to us several different ways. We're going to get into this in October. We're going to talk about what God speaks to us. Some of the ways He speaks to us is through His Word. You know, everything we know about God is in this book. All the sermons that have been preached for 2,000 years have come out of this book. And actually a little bit less of it because some sermons came before Paul had written all his letters. That's it. So if we want to know about God, we want to know about Jesus, where do we need to read? The Bibles. He speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us through in our hearts. That sometimes, yes, there will be a something where God just sticks a word in your head and you don't know what it means. That's part of our story coming here. Jane was praying and having a quiet time and what was going through her mind, but Corning, 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 Corning. She said, Josh, I think we need to talk about Corning. And it worked. God brought us here. Sometimes He speaks through other people. Sometimes He speaks through circumstances. But all those things mean that we have to have a desire to want to notice when He's speaking to us through His Word, when there are circumstances happening around us, when there are people who say, maybe you should or shouldn't think about this, and they're Christian people who love God and know God and mature in their own faith. We got to listen to that. But your desires have to be to make that happen. Because if we don't do that, if we're not investing that time, if we're not making the changes in our schedules and our attitudes and our desires in order to abide with Him, then what does it say? We have no power. You wonder why your life feels powerless and flat? Maybe it's because you're just trying to get through it and do the motions and do it on your own. Spend time with Him. Let Him speak to you. Let Him talk to you. I'm going to pray. And as we finish up, I just want to challenge you to